Former First Lady Betty Ford is recovering from an unspecified surgery at a Southern California hospital. She is 88.
Attention business owners. Getting new customers is now just one click away. Sounds too good to be true, right? Well, you got us. It's actually two clicks away with the new MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com is more than an online yellow pages. It's an interactive gateway that connects customers with your business, all in just two clicks. Why continue to pay thousands of dollars on an antique advertising medium, especially one that ends up going into the recycling bin? Make the smart upgrade at only a fraction of the cost. Try for yourself. MyLocalYP.com. MyLocalYP.com will put your business in the radar of thousands of potential customers. They'll be able to make reservations online, even print out the map with directions, all in just two clicks. Call 1-800-505-1883 today to find out more about this great new service. The sooner you do, the faster your cash register will start to ring. The number again is 1-800-505-1883. MyLocalYP.com.
The recall of contaminated pet foods has expanded to include dog biscuits, puppy chews, and wet food sold earlier than originally reported. The list of contaminated cat and dog food is available on the web, but many veterinarians recommend no food containing wheat gluten should be given to pets. In a report to securities regulators, Ford Motors revealed it gave out multi-million dollar bonuses to its executives last year, even though the troubled company posted a record annual loss of nearly $13 billion. Ford CEO received a total compensation package exceeding $28 million for 4 months of work. The United Steelworkers Union is discussing a merger with Amicus, a major union in the UK. If the merger is approved, the union would become one of the largest in the world, representing more than 3 million workers. A coalition of the nation's leading civil rights groups is urging subprime lenders to stop foreclosing on borrowers' homes. The group is calling for a 6-month ban on repossessions and requesting lenders move borrowers into loans with more generous terms. In preparation for the demolition of the Sands Casino in Atlantic City, workers removed slot machines that had stood in the same spot for 26 years. Underneath, they found more than $17,000 in coins, bills, and tokens. Both Wall Street and NYMEX are closed for the Easter holiday. More at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Live from Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
Okay, everybody, get up. Get up. That includes me. Get up. Get up. Gotta wake up. Gotta do stuff. Got things to do. Got people to do. Things to see. Oh, my goodness. It's Friday, for crying out loud. You gotta get up and face the day. Face the morning. Hey, my morning person. I wake up, what to do? Smack! I am not. I repeat, I am not a morning person. Frankly, I think morning people... Oh, never mind. My roommate Tommy was telling me about a bit he saw on from the Second City Comedy Group here. And it started out where the first sequence they did before they began, when they began the show, was they had a little breakfast nook, and there's a guy cooking or whatever, and his wife comes in, she opens the door, she goes, I'm a morning person, I wake up, what to do, and she just shoots her, wham, 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 wham. Needless to say, that got the show off to a good start. How is everybody doing? My name is Joe Vecchio, and I am barely awake, even as we speak, and it is one of those deceptively cold days in Chicago. If you look outside, it's beautiful, sunny out, not a cloud in the sky, and yet you go out there and you freeze your wusses off. And it's been that way. It's like, it was, what, 70 degrees earlier in the week? And now it's like in the 30s. And what the heck is going on with that? And we got coyotes running into sub shops. There was I mentioned this the other day. A coyote ran into a local Quiznos not far from where I work and just hung out there. Oh, I'm just going to hang out here by the soda cooler. It's nice in here. And if you've never seen a coyote, I mean, I've never seen a live one, but the picture they had, this is like a little tiny dog. You wouldn't know. It looked like maybe a little German Shepherd. Anyway, it is Friday. And on the Cup of Joe show, Friday always means a visit from our guest, the lovely and wonderful Carolyn Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com. Hi, Carol. How are you today?
Hi. I'm doing fine. Thank you.
Are you dressed warmly?
I don't have to be. I'm inside.
Oh, that's true.
I would like to tell you about my experience with a coyote when we lived on the north side.
Sure, far away.
I was out walking my dog one day, and I saw what looked like a dog in a parking lot, a fenced-in parking lot across from the little park where I always walked him. And as we were turning around to go back, I didn't think much of it, except I realized there was no person there, so that kind of worried me. My dog was pretty feisty, and I didn't want him to get in a fight or anything. So as I was turning around to go back, this woman said, "You know what that is over there?" And I said, "No." She said, "That's a coyote." I said, "What?" And I got to tell you, this was not a small animal. This coyote was bigger than my dog. And
how big is your dog?
And my dog was like 70 pounds, you know. So
what kind of dog is it?
He was a mixture of lab and probably a little shepherd.
Okay.
But he was 70 pounds, and that's not a terribly small dog. But this was, he was tall and thin. It was sitting, very patiently, you know, like, I'm not sure what I'm doing here, but this doesn't look like home. <You know>? and finally, I heard on the news later that they had, tranquilized him with a dart, and brought him back to the forest preserve. So that's one of the things about living in a city with big, 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 huge parks around it. You sometimes have deer infiltrating the suburbs and eating their grass. And
well, deer is not unusual. I've dealt with deer in Atlanta before, although Atlanta is really much more a suburban city than Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
We've got skunks living up here. I know that.
Well, All this wildlife, it's exciting. Anyway.
But have you been having a good week? I mean, I've been reading your daily reports as they come in, and you've had some really fascinating stories. Far too many for me to bring up all at once, but if you've got one in particular you want to bring up, that would be cool, because you've had some really cool ones.
The most important information to be thinking about this week, or the what's going on, the back and forth and so on, is all of the hoopla surrounding Nancy Pelosi's trip to Syria and to other areas of the Middle East. It's as though the Republicans are now saying that no Speaker of the House should ever visit a foreign country.
Mm.
That she has.
So long as it's a Democrat.
Pardon?
So long as it's a Democrat.
So long as it's a Democrat. Of course. You know the story very well.
And in fact,
there were two delegations of Republican congressmen that nobody made any fuss about whatsoever. Not the president nor the vice president, who is now criticizing Nancy Pelosi.
And if you read the news, you wouldn't even know they were there, would you?
Because
they never even mentioned them.
Exactly, because the mainstream media don't see fit to print anything unless it comes on Republican talking points faxed to them from Karl Rove's office. Pardon me.
That's all right. No, or it comes from Matt Drudge.
I get upset about this stuff.
I get upset too, because it's the old saying that a lie will find its way around the world while the truth is still putting its shoes on, and the media is just pushing this stuff along, making it go around the world five times before the truth is even awake.
Right, exactly, and You know, one of the things that has worried me, since I first got involved in politics, is that there's another thing about truth, and that is that the truth will out. You know, that finally truth will win. Good information will beat out bad information, and so on. But you know, that's not really true on the internet. Because
no, it's not. Well, in fact, I've very rarely found it to be true in the other world too.
Well, certainly not in media today, not in U.S. media today. But what worries me about the internet is that there are so many well-funded websites and supposed research organizations and so on the right that get their story out there, and they get it into the search engines, and they, you know, and they come up first. For example,
right.
If you do a Google on, quote, Al space Gore, close quote, space lies, you'll find all of the townhall.com stuff. You'll find all of these, you know, right-wing crazies saying, oh, Al Gore's a liar, Al Gore's a liar, Al Gore's a liar. And every now and then a little bitty thing from Consortium News that says, this is all overblown, folks. The man
and
did not lie. He may have exaggerated a little bit here and there, but the man's not a liar. You know, and so that worries me about future researchers, future people coming along who don't who are, as I like to say, age impaired, you know, who don't have the history or the perspective of seeing how many times this kind of stuff has happened.
Right. Well, you know, I like to say that all society, regardless of what type of society you have, the foundation of all of it is trust. Trust in your officials, or at least in a democratic society, the way it should work. Trust in your officials, trust in, you know, the press to do the right thing and all that stuff. And when you take away that foundation, everything gets wobbly.
Well, as Reagan said, trust but verify. And that's,
I'm sorry?
As Reagan said, trust but verify. You have to always be on your guard, always be alert, especially in this PR age. You know, you can't trust the fact that Walmart comes out and says, oh, we're going to help our employees with their, you know, with their lifestyle situation, help them enjoy their lives. You know, let me get to the, here we go. Walmart is going to expand personal well-being programs. You know, well, Walmart, if you would just pay your employees a living wage, you wouldn't need to worry about well-being programs.
Right.
You know.
But you can't pay them, you know, you can't pay them a living wage because, you know, then the shareholders get mad because, and the CEOs don't get that money.
You know, we need a very big re-education process in the United States, and that re-education process needs to involve a learning experience where people realize that, or are taught again, that, you know, short-term gain or short-term payoff isn't always what's best in the long run. If we want to survive as human beings, if we want to survive as a powerful country, we cannot continually lower and lower and lower and lower the living status of American citizens. We can't do that.
And you can't have this constant wealth distribution. And you also can't have, I was listening to QNN, and I don't know if you can listen to it on the phone there before you come in, but I was listening to the stream about how Ford was given multi-million dollar benefits to their executives, and, and their CEO in particular got $28 million for 4 months' work,
right?
For 6 months' work, and it's like, and in the meantime, they're laying people up.
$7 billion.
Yeah, and it's you know, and people look at that and they think, you know, something. Why am I working for? And you know, that's basically why I get in a lot of trouble in work, because I think, why am I working for a living for peanuts?
Right.
You know, why don't I just go out and start stealing stuff? I mean, that just seems to be the way. Because I don't understand how you get to that point where you can just go, well, you know, I'm screwing up the whole thing because of the record loss, but I need $28 million. And I just can't even fathom it.
So give me. I want $28 million, so give it to me.
I mean, and I just, you know, I was talking to Agnes Kincaid.
It's a crony, old boy, you pat my back, I'll pat yours. You know, it used to be in politics that all of that stuff was going on until the corporations realized that they could influence the political process, and then they all got involved in, you know, being on each other's boards and voting each other all these huge salaries and huge benefit packages and perks. And
Sunpac law. Sunpac law needs to be repealed. The Sunpac law was passed in the 70s after the Watergate scandals. This is one of the political reforms things, and was one of those that for the first time allowed corporations to create and fund their own political action committees. They used to be able to have them, but they weren't allowed to fund them with their own money.
But I don't think it's the PACs that are really the ones, you know, doing as much damage to the political process as the lobbyists and the paying of the lobbyists and the special campaigns that they come up with. Not that, say, SWIFA, Veterans for Lives was not a corporate organization exactly. You know, it was funded by some right-wing rich people. But those kinds of things are popping up all over the place. These AstroTurf organizations that are, you know, supposed grassroots this or that, that are influencing legislation, and lots of money is going into them. And of course, if it's Republicans in Congress and in the White House, they pay total attention to them and no attention to the real grassroots organizations.
Right. I mean, you could, that's how you can have, you know, a million or so people protesting, say, in New York City, and the newspapers, which are owned by the corporate, you know, the same corporate people who run the government, basically, will report, well, there's about 10,000 there,
right.
You know. That's why you can have larger protests. And people, you know, and the people, God bless them, who think that, you know, those things really make a huge bit of difference. Because, you know, a million people is a lot, but it's not a ton of people. And if it gets underreported, you know, the other 290-something million people in the country reading the news say, oh, well, you know, only a few people showed up. So they get the wrong impression from it. But,
right.
You know, again, eventually
the
level of...
Even out in the world, out in the country, people that are on your side think, well, there's so few people that agree with me on this that maybe
right.
I should just give up, you know?
Right. I mean, I feel that way. There's not enough people that agree with me, but, you know, we face such a huge uphill battle, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I was talking with Agnes Kincaid before the show. You know, just about trying to make ends meet with my job and you know, trying to pay the rent. And I said, you know, I just wish I had somebody that could say, Joe, here's $10,000. Do what you need to do. And $10,000 would mean a huge amount to me. You know, but and it sounds like a lot of money to some people. So, wow, $10,000, but it's nothing. It'll be gone in, like, you know, 2 months if I'm lucky. It lasts that long.
Right.
You know, just to because I have to move again, and I still got to look for another place, another job, because this one's just not doing it for me. And, you know, it's depressing, because any job I find that pays anywhere near decent money, I've got to have a college degree for. And I'm just like, why do you need that stupid piece of paper? Because I've seen some college graduates, and they're not necessarily that bright.
I know. Yeah.
Anyway,
well,
I'm just
rambling
on. It's
not a fair world, that's for sure.
Well, you know, as I mentioned on my blog, I don't expect the world to be a fair world, but I think with a little work we can make it a lot less unfair.
Yes.
But we just don't seem to want to.
But I want to make this point, and that is that things are looking up so much more than they were at this time in the year 2001, for example. Okay, that finally we've been able to overcome that incredible machine that was just plowing through the world, making its own way, and damn to everybody that doesn't agree with us 150%. It finally is discredited in a lot of areas. We still have a lot of work to do. You're right about that. But man, when I think about how far we've come, I have to be happy about that.
I'm happy too, and it's mostly the work of the bloggers. They mentioned in a news report that the two biggest scandals that came out recently, the Scooter Libby trial and the attorney scandals, were driven by left-wing bloggers, and the mainstream media, after a much long delay, finally paid attention. Has Time magazine written about it yet? Time magazine had completely ignored the attorneys being fired story,
still,
I believe.
They are still ignoring it.
And they don't see how it's an important thing. And to these guys, it's like, oh, it's no big deal. Every president does it. No, every president doesn't do it in this way. And, of course, we're not talking about any president to begin with. We're talking about George W. Bush. And who was it that made that point? Someone made a really good point that's saying that, you know, Bush is bitching and moaning about the military budget thing. And he really doesn't have to be bitching and moaning about it, because all he has to do is sign it and then write another signing statement saying, I'm just going to do whatever I feel like.
Well, he was not. For all we know.
But why is he bitching so much if that's all he wants to do? Just go ahead and sign it.
It plays to the base. You have to understand that everything that comes out of George Bush's mouth, everything that comes out of Dick Cheney's mouth, everything that comes out of every mouth out of anybody in that administration has to do with playing to their mean, nasty, awful, vicious, horrible base.
That 20 or 30% that will believe anything Bush says. If Bush says,
exactly.
If it's noon and Bush says it's midnight, they'll believe it.
Right. And black
is
white.
Grover Norquist said pretty much the same thing, didn't he? He was talking about John McCain and the war, and he says McCain thinks that, you know, the American people care about, or the base cares about the war. What the base cares about is George W. Bush.
Exactly. And they did that on purpose. They set things up that way on purpose. One of the first things I noticed about this administration in 2001 was you didn't have people from all different, all cabinet secretaries all over the place coming out with announcements and this and that and the other thing. Everything except for a few minor things from Treasury and from not even state went through the White House and came from the White House. All information came from the White House. And that was to, you know, put Bush's name up there. Bush does this. Bush does that. Bush this. Bush that. And that's because of all of these, you know, little foot soldiers they have out there who just love, love, love the guy. And, you know, no matter what he does, if they find him, you know, having sexual congress with a young boy on the White House lawn, they'll say, oh, look, he's has interest in young people. You know?
Well, I wrote a post on my blog some years back, and it was dealing with the media situation, as you talk about, because the media is the same way, fawning all over the guy. I said, if you had a press conference, if Bush just called one of the reporters out of the room there, put a gun to his head, and blew the guy's brains out right in front of everybody else, the media wouldn't report exactly what happened. I mean, if that was the facts of the case, the media would say something like, well, there was some confusion today and some gunshots. Nothing was apparently clear about what was going on. And they do everything they friggin' can to cover for this guy.
They'd say, see how determined Bush is?
Yeah, it's a bold move by our leader. It was a bold move in his quest for a more unified media.
Right.
We welcome. I could see them pissing their pants over the whole Iran thing, because I think they were expecting that the British to go, you know, all balls to the wall and stuff, to go to war to get these guys back and whatnot. And the British got very quiet and got diplomatic. And you know what? They got their people released.
Not only that, Iran became diplomatic also, and Syria may have had something to do with it. And it just so happened that
Nancy Pelosi was in Syria.
Was in Syria at that time. And that's one of the reasons why they're attacking Pelosi so strongly right now, is because they don't
want anybody to make that connection. Anyway.
They don't want anybody.
They attack anybody, though.
Pardon?
They attack anybody for
well,
the
yes,
Democratic.
But there's method in their madness. They don't do this stuff just because they're mean or just because they're nasty.
Well, some of them do, but you're right. It is an organized effort,
but
some of them do.
It's very well calculated. There's a group of right-wing crazies that writes to me, and, of course, you know, once they write to me once, they get on a mailing list, and I send them stuff to yank their chains, but they send me stuff back. And so I always know. I know what Rush Limbaugh's going to say that day. I know what's coming out of Karl Rove's fax machine. I know all of that stuff because I get it from them. There's
it's all a big network.
Stuff, you know, before they know that bad news is coming out, so they get to the foot soldiers and they say, some Democratic president did blah, blah, blah. So when they get the news about this Republican president doing something really, really awful, they say, oh, well, see, this is very, very clever. This whole campaign, everything they do is very, very clever. Now, I want to tell you a little bit of something about the people that they appeal to. There's one of my...
We've got about 3 minutes, by the way, before we have to break.
One of my science and technology deals today was on the disease that underlies the Hatfield-McCoy feud.
Okay.
One of the most infamous feud in American folklore, the long-running battle between Hatfields and McCoys, may be partly explained by a rare inherited disease that can lead to hair trigger rage and violent outbursts. We sure have a lot of that disease going on in this country. And they're all right-wingers, every one of them. They want to go beat up the world, go swaggering around the world, stomping on people and shooting and killing. That's what these people are all about. They're sick. It's a genetic disease. Hello?
Okay. These are people.
Hello?
There you are.
Hey.
Hi, I'm sorry. My internet went out.
Oh, okay. Alrighty.
It's been doing that on and off.
One of those cell phone moments that they show on television. Just to show you how effective those ads are. I don't remember which
those ads are.
I
don't know how they heard it on the stream here either. but no, you're right. It is a very, very coordinated effort, and they're very, very good at it. And
yeah,
we have to understand. But you know, but even so, after a while, and I bring this point up before, after a while, people stop buying the BS.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it happened in the Soviet Union. I mean,
yes.
Pravda and Izvestia, they had much more control over the media than even the right wing has. And even so, most of the people knew it was BS, and they didn't have the internet.
Yes. And that's what eventually led to the downfall.
Eventually going to lead to these guys.
I don't know if I've mentioned this on your show before, but one of the things that happened, I can't find a reference to this on the internet. I really would love to, but I remember reading that in the last days of the Soviet Union, when the government made an announcement through Pravda, of course, that butter was bad for you, then everybody in the country assumed that there was a butter shortage. And this is typical of what these... that's a Karl Rove move. Hello?
It's happening again. Just keep going.
Okay. Anyway, that's a Karl Rove move. It's a perfect situation where you lead people to the point where they cannot believe anything you say. It's like Baghdad Bob standing there with the bombs going off behind him saying, there is no war, there is no attack, there are no Americans here.
Yeah, exactly. And in the same vein, you've got John McCain. It's perfectly safe to walk down the street. It's perfectly safe to walk down the street.
With 100 troops and 50 helicopters.
And you don't think people saw that? And you know, it's funny watching the right-wingers go crazy over these issues. But you know what's even funnier is that we have to take a break. So let's go ahead and we skipped the first break. We need to go ahead and we need to sell some business here. So let's go ahead and take the second break, and then we'll be back, because I want to talk about an incident with Bill O'Reilly and Geraldo Rivera. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Advertising on the Cup of Joe radio show is both easy and inexpensive. Ads that cost as little as $5 a piece are a bargain when you consider that the Cup of Joe show has an audience in the thousands for a live show, and that's not even counting the thousands more that listen on iTunes or at the archives on the White Rose Society. And all you have to do is email me at joe@cupjoe.com, that's C-U-P-J-O-E.com, to find out how you can advertise your blog, organization, or product. What are you waiting for? Email me now at joe@cupjoe.com, C-U-P-J-O-E.com, and let Internet Radio Ads work for you.
The following is a Head On Radio Network special announcement. I'm back. That's right. The rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Fox Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Foxed Up time here on the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, this is Sarah Jessica Parker. It's hard to believe that 1.5 million people in New York City are at risk of going hungry. More than half of them are children and the elderly. The Food Bank for New York City provides the food that soup kitchens, food pantries, and shelters use to feed those in need. Now more than ever, we need your help in the fight against hunger. For more information, visit the Food Bank at www.foodbanknyc.org.
This is the Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back here, I hope, on the Cup of Joe radio show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man's thinking man, and I'm joined here with by Carolyn Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com. I apologize to people who have been losing the feed momentarily, because that's my internet's going out from time to time. It happened to me yesterday, which is why I canceled doing the show yesterday. It seemed to have stabilized itself, but I guess it's not doing that. So if we drop out again, I'm very sorry. I don't know how it's seen on the stream and all that stuff. Yes, you heard the news spot. I am advertising for advertisers. So if you want to place an ad on the Cup of Joe radio show, just give me an email, joe@cupjoe.com. And when you buy ads in $5 a piece, that's a real bargain. Even the most expensive one is like $10. That's like a week's worth of ads for $10 each or $50 total. So that's really not too bad. Carol, I was watching a video that I got via several different sources of Geraldo Rivera on the Bill O'Reilly show, and they were talking about, I guess I didn't see the whole thing, but I saw the big blow up scene. Where there was a drunk driver who killed someone, and of course I'm all against drunk drivers, obviously, but the drunk driver happened to be an illegal alien, and Bill O'Reilly started going on and on and on about this was an illegal alien, and Geraldo was trying to say it doesn't make a difference if it was an illegal alien, you know, stop trying to make a cheap political point when we're talking about drunk driving, because there's hundreds of people who get killed every year by drunk drivers, and O'Reilly was just went ballistic. He pounded his fist on the table and started screaming at Geraldo. He said, you're for these people, you know. Yeah, it was unbelievable. I've never seen him that unhinged before, and he's pretty unhinged to begin with, don't you think?
Well, he's done several things recently that he has been feuding with his, what is she, a reporter, she's not really a co-anchor, but she's on quite a lot and does news, you know, he wants a report on such and such, and supposedly she comes on. And she has corrected him on the air, and he has done things like turn off her microphone, and he's gone nuts. I mean, his ratings are down, Fox's ratings are down. You know, nobody wants to listen to that hate stuff and that anger all the time anymore. Here's the thing.
I wonder what he gets so angry about, though. I mean, I can understand people being upset about certain issues, even, you know, regardless of how much money you have. But, geez, don't you think he's got, you know, good things going on in his life? He's got plenty of money. He never has to worry about, you know, paying the rent or you know, going out to eat or whatnot.
But that's his shtick. I mean, he appeals to old white guys that are angry. That who knows what they're angry about? But he just stokes their anger, and he, you know, he legitimizes their anger and gives them more to be angry about. But here's the rub. Studies show, all the latest studies show that anger causes heart attacks, which cause death. So
gee, what a
Ryan
shock.
And Limbaugh and all these people are killing their audience.
Hey, that's good for them. So maybe Bill should get even more angrier.
There you go.
Maybe we can get people like
we shouldn't object when they get angry and stoke anger. Great. All you guys die off and then leave the world to the rest of us. We're not
angry.
We're not so hateful.
We could do something like if you remember the TV series Max Headroom from back in the 80s, the first episode of that was about these things called blipverps, which were like instant commercials. And for some people, they literally fried their brains and their head exploded. Maybe we can do something like that. Something that just gets them so angry that the head just goes, pooey! I like that famous scene from the movie Scanners, you know?
Well,
where the guy's head explodes.
Maybe we start working on that.
I think that would be a very good idea. I'd rather look forward to it.
Lots of exploded heads all over the country. I can't say that I feel real sorry for them, because they that's what they want. They want to be angry. They want to hate. They want to, you know, they don't want. And this is something I don't know how much or you've ever heard of Rush Limbaugh, but I've heard some and read a lot. And one of the things that he did very successfully from early on, from the late 80s start, was to denigrate any good feelings, any feelings of cooperation, of working together, or, you know, that kind of stuff. He would make fun of anybody that did that. In fact, the first time I started listening to him, I thought, well, gee, there's a fresh voice. This was in 88, I'm sure. And then he got on this thing about a guy, the first guy that came up with the idea for homeless people to sell newspapers. It was in New York.
Uh-huh.
And I don't remember the guy's name, but I mean, every single day he lit into this guy and lit into him, and you know, I was getting real tired of it. And then the guy committed suicide, and I said, okay, well, he'll stop now. No, he got worse. Limbaugh got worse. He ragged and ragged and ragged on the guy who had just committed suicide. And so that was when I said, this guy's not for me. You know, I'm not listening to this stuff.
And you you wonder why he's like that, because, you know, he was on welfare for a while.
Mm.
You know, and
sure
the only reason he
that at every opportunity, you hear that every day, right, on his show.
Yeah. Well, he has. The thing about it is, he has brought it up before, so at least I'll give him credit for that. But you know what? It still doesn't make any difference, because and the only reason he got the job in the first place, being on the radio, was because guess what? His daddy owned the station.
Well, his first radio opportunity was that, yes, but his first talk show opportunity was given to him in California, and I can't remember the woman's name right now. She still does a talk show every now and then on KGO. I mean, she fills in for people on KGO, and she talks about the fact that she gave Limbaugh his start. She's liberal. But to her, it was radio. It was entertainment. You know, forget the fact.
Right.
It put us into a dark ages for at least 6 years, and, you know, please, Lord, don't let it last beyond the next two.
Well, there were people who were saying that, back in 88, 89, early 90s, is saying that Rush Limbaugh is potentially the most dangerous person in the country, him and all of his friends spreading all this propaganda, because they really have worked very hard to tear down any kind of social fabric. That whole ideology is you gotta get it by yourself, and, you know, you gotta pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and all that sort of thing, and you know, you're not allowed to take it.
Forget the fact that that is not what we are as human beings.
Right.
As human beings, we are social animals. We, you know, millions of years of evolution has made us tribal beings. beings that want to get along in the group, and I have found research that says our good-feeling brain chemicals are released when we do things that cooperate with each other in a group. Forget all that. You know, it's just, I say that human beings have to all be on their own and get no help from anybody, and because I say it, that's what everybody has to do.
Right.
That's the way they act.
And but they certainly don't have any problems working in groups when it comes to their, you know, religious organizations and stuff like that.
Or when it comes to their crony capitalism, now does it? Giving each other millions and millions of dollars of salary on a losing company.
Right, exactly.
They work together very well doing that.
And you know, and it's amazing to me how, and you talked about it being tribal. And you know, Grover Norquist comments, which were right on the ball, that it's not about the war, it's not about any particular issue, it's about George W. Bush. And there are some people who, like I said, if George W. Bush said in the middle of noon, at noontime, in Austin, Texas, where the sun was way out, that it's midnight, there would be people say, yeah, it's midnight, yeah, and it just boggles my mind that they would do that, but that's
that kind of
mindset.
That was all calculated, too. That was based on the teachings of Leo Strauss, who taught here at the University of Chicago in the 50s and 60s. Now, he was a Jewish refugee from Hitler's Germany,
mm-hmm.
and he basically preached that what a country needs is a strong man, that you tell myths to the people because they can't understand, you know, what's really going on, all this. I mean, what he preached was having another Hitler. And guess what?
Well, the, you know, and the thing about they're not really fascists just yet in the sense of they haven't actively physically gone out, like they haven't come to my door and started beating the crap out of me just yet.
Well,
I'm working to prevent that from happening.
Fascism.
I know it's not, but they're not. I know what the definition of fascism is, but they haven't gone full-born Nazi yet.
Right.
Because I know there's a difference between Nazism and fascism, but we haven't had a Kristallnacht yet.
Right, but
yet.
The price of liberty is eternal vigilance. It takes these, even these people, it takes them time. It takes step by step by step. They get away with this little step, and they go on to the next step, and they get away with that step, and they go on to the next step, which is exactly what Hitler did. Hitler didn't start out, you know, making war against everybody.
Right, he started in the 20s. People forget that. Yeah. It took some time.
Right.
Because we watch these documentaries, they figure, oh, you know, Hitler came in, and 5 minutes later, they were declaring war on Poland.
Exactly. That's what people think, but that is not what happened. And we've been told from, you know, very, very early on that the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. You can't ever sit back on your haunches and say, oh, well, it's okay. Everything will be okay, because that's what they want you to think.
Right, meanwhile, because there's always going to be people like that. There are always going to be people like the Bushes, because they existed all throughout the New Deal. They existed in the 60s. They existed in the 70s. The only difference is now they've risen to power. They've risen to power because we've allowed our social institutions to be corrupted by corporate money and by corporate ideology.
Yes. I agree with that.
Listen, let's do this. Let's take a phone call, okay?
Because
we've got, he's been waiting for a while. Our good friend Kevin from Washington, D.C. is on line one. Hi, Kevin. Sorry to keep you waiting, but you know how it is with us guys. When we get going. How are you today?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, Joe. It's Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
How you doing? From Washington?
Yes, I know. How you doing?
I'm okay. You know what? I'll be angry, too, if the only way I can get a woman is by flying down to the Dominican Republic with a handful of Viagra.
Now, wait a minute. Hold it. Are you sure he was looking for women?
I don't know. Well, let's say underage people. Okay. And, you know, with the Hitler thing, if I had one testicle, I would be angry, too. So, you know, a lot of these guys, you know, the reason why they're angry is because they have issues. You know,
there's something wrong with them. Yeah.
Yeah. Issues.
And that's the way I feel about a lot of these white old men that love Rush Limbaugh and that love Bill O'Reilly, are that they're people who have basically failed in life. You know, but by damn, if they had the opportunity to be one of them crony capitalists, they'd be one too, and therefore they got to support them crony capitalists, you know.
Yeah. Category two is the wannabes. I mean, I've always said there's three categories of Republican voters: people who are in on a scam, people who want to be in on a scam, and people who aren't aware that they're being scammed. And those are your typical.
But, you know, these people have.
Those are your categories of Republicans.
Yeah, but these people have failed in life. Hello?
Yes.
I'm here.
In the most primal way, because the ultimate thing in life is to produce life. And, you know, they have, a lot of them have dysfunctions in that most primal way. You know, a lot of them. So that's where the anger comes from, and people don't know the source of that anger sometimes. And, you know, you got to look into that. And if you look at all the German generals and all the Hitler's henchmen, they had a lot of sexual dysfunctions. Look into that.
And I think I really think a lot of stuff like that goes down. You know, like when we talk about misogyny and control of women,
yeah.
I really think a lot of stuff that goes down like that does, because they know if women were given a free and real choice about who to have sex with, these guys would never get laid.
Exactly. And you know, it's like, I know. For me personally, in my dealings with women, and not to get too personal and graphic, I've always believed in making them as free to choose as possible. To the point it's disturbing. It's been disturbing to quite a few relationships.
Right. But you see, Kevin, for these people it's not about sharing. It's not about mutual gratification. It's about power. They want power over other people.
That I know, and that's about the particularly women. You know, a lot of, you know.
Well, that's where they start, because women are less able to defend themselves.
But yeah, but that is true, unless you have a unique woman. But, you know, it's just the reality is, you know, the whole abortion people, the whole abortion thing is about, you know, vaginal control. You know, they want to keep their daughters and mothers and wives in line.
Yes.
And they have their little purity balls.
Yes.
You know, I don't know if I've talked about these from time to time.
As we used to say, in the 60s, they want to keep us barefoot and pregnant and in the kitchen.
Yeah. Well,
yep, you know, exactly.
I'm a heels man myself. But that's a different issue altogether. But, you know, and that's where it all comes from. And
what's really too bad is that these people don't seem to, the people that want power over other human beings don't seem to realize that that they are the ones who are missing out.
I think you know, really the basis aspect of it, the whole background behind it, is just fear. I think that they are afraid that if they don't control other people will control them. And
well,
so they operate
what?
In that premise.
Yeah. Guess what?
Other people
do control them.
You know,
people named Rush Limbaugh, yeah. Bill O'Reilly, George Bush, Karl Rove, those people.
Yeah, well, I've always,
You
know, I always believed in the politics of the ghetto, which is always look out for the rich white guy. Regardless of how big somebody else is, somebody back there pulling the string. You know? And that's always been true for any, you know, people of any ethnicity, but even most people in general always look out for the rich white guy.
Well, you know, I'm kind of sort of white. I mean, I'm Italian, but I'm still European white. So
you don't count.
But I'm obviously not, you know, in any good old boys club, because if I was, I'd be getting paid huge sums of money for doing the show, right?
Trust me. Yes.
but the thing about it is, being a white guy and kind of having that look, if you've ever seen a picture of me, and I don't really generally send them out because I don't like to break cameras, if you've ever seen a picture of me, you can think that maybe if I'm in a conversation with somebody, they might make certain assumptions based upon how I look. So therefore, I am privy to the occasional comment where you get, that gets a slight insight to their minds.
Well,
you know, so
well, you know, and it all boils down to that, because believe it or not, I've received comments with, you know, because most people think I'm Hispanic. They don't think I'm African or Middle Eastern. And it's a whole racial hierarchy, you know, thing going on. And it's about control, you know. One group tries to control another, and they're trying to get their own.
Well, part of that, though, may be somewhat built in.
Yeah.
A lot of the research nowadays is showing that, and this would be natural. Think about it. You live in a tribe in, you know, prehistoric Guyana or wherever, and you know, you learn once you grow up that other tribes will, if they catch you away from your tribe, they might kill you.
Oh, yeah.
Or they might, you know, if you're a woman, they might grab you and take you off to this, because they had to do a lot of that sharing, you know, right. Otherwise the gene pool would get...
We slowly see that to this day. The Martians are stealing our women.
Yeah.
So think about, you know, the mentality that would become somewhat inherent, that suspicion of strangers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But here's the good news. The good news is that we don't have to be ruled by those kinds of tendencies.
Oh, yeah.
As human beings, we can look at those in a rational light and say, oh, you know what? I don't need to be afraid of every single person that's different from me.
And, you know, I do get the concept that, you know, the gorilla with the most coconuts and bananas get all the female gorillas. I do get that. You know, but we don't have to do that in this modern day and age.
I mean, is that what it takes? Wait a minute, hold on. Let me write that down.
Wait, before.
I'm going to the supermarket to buy coconuts and bananas.
Wait, before we get too far into that, let me make another point here. And, you know, I've done some research into stuff you see, because I really am interested in how we got into these, to where we are and so on. Food was not storable.
Yeah.
Until just like, you know,
100 years ago, probably.
Maybe 4,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago, okay? You could not store food. So even if it was one man in a tribe killed a very large animal, would he keep it to himself?
No, he would.
Or would he keep it to himself and only his family?
And humans have always kind of worked in that kind of group thing in order to survive. They've had to, because,
exactly.
You know, physically speaking, we're not, you know, as physically adapted as, you know,
exactly. Being banished from the tribe was a death sentence.
Yeah.
Okay, so the people who, developed ways of getting along in the tribe and even feeling good about getting along in the tribe were the ones who lived to pass on their genes to future generations, okay?
Right.
So,
you know, what's interesting is whenever I hear all the right-wingers talking about, you know, all this, I say, you know, every lion wakes up every day knowing they've got to be the fastest lion or the fastest cheetah and every deer, you know, and I was like, you know, do you want to really live like that? So if you really do live like that, that means if you marry a new wife and she has children, you have to kill those kids because that's what lions do.
Well, not only that, they don't think that. I mean, I have a dog, okay, and I've learned a lot from my animals. My dog doesn't think about where her food is coming from. She doesn't think about, oh, gee, I hope my owners give me food today, otherwise I'll have to break out of here and go kill some animal or something. They don't think about that. They just assume that it's going to be there, and that's really what Jesus was talking about when he talked about the flowers of the field and the birds and the whatevers. They don't think about where the food is coming from. It's just there.
It's there, and if there's not enough of it there, they starve.
Well,
or they go into Quiznos.
Unfortunately, but at least they don't, you know, whether they worry or not is not going to make any difference.
Well, you know, and again, there's always going to be people like that in the world, and the haters and the people who build themselves up by putting other people down, and the only thing that we can really do until the human race changes genetically, I guess, is to just make sure they stay out of power, you know, because they were out of power for a long time, and things were, you know, except for, you know, I'm not saying it was perfect, but if you look back during the heyday of the New Deal, the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, stuff like that, things were generally speaking much better for middle class people than they are now.
Yeah,
and it wasn't great for everybody. There was still a lot of racism. There was still a lot of problems in this country. I'm not saying it was utopia by any stretch of the imagination, but it was better for most people.
You know, I'm looking at.
Well, the question is, every now and then we have to think about what are we doing? I mean, what's the purpose? You know, if you, a lot of religious people think, oh, well, my purpose here is to be good so that I can go to heaven in the next world and blah, blah, blah. And you know, I'm sorry, I don't buy that. That's not my thing.
Well, I'm more of a Confucian.
Pardon?
I'm more of a Confucian.
Well, what I think is that we ought to be able to get some pleasure out of this life.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
That
make
whole business about
earth.
Heaven and all that stuff, I'm convinced was put onto people by the rulers of the time who said,
to control
oh, see,
people.
Don't go, you know, thinking that you ought to get anything in this life, because that's all for me.
Yeah. No, no.
And so have to be patient, and you have to wait until the next life for you to get anything, yeah. if there is one, by the way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, I've never, you know, of all the things I've ever believed or not believed, heaven and hell is one thing I do not believe in. I think that's all a bunch of crap.
Well,
I don't know what awaits us after we die, but to me, that ain't it.
Well, I believe.
Listen, I hate to cut everybody off, and I know that Kevin, you want to make some points, and I know that you know, Carol and I, and we could just talk for days and days, but the sad reality is that the show is ending.
Oh, okay. Have a good one.
So,
happy holidays.
Thanks for calling, Kevin.
Okay. Thanks, Kevin. And thank you, Carol K., for MakeThemAccountable.com. And again, I hate to cut people off. I really do, because if it was up to me, I'd just let everybody go and let everybody go crazy, and we'd be on the air for 24 hours a day. And it's like, can we get off now, please?
Wow, the whole world should be just us, right?
That's right, exactly. Listen, Carol Kay again from MakeThemAccountable.com. Thank you very much. Let me say my thanks. You're very welcome, and we'll see you again next Friday, okay?
Alrighty.
All right. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been a production of the Head On Radio Network. Agnes Kincaid, the lovely, wonderful Agnes Kincaid, running the board there in the studios in West Virginia. The Cup of Joe Show has been sponsored by UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. John Fox is next on the Head On Radio Network. We'll see you on Monday, and until then, hey, hey, get back to work.
If a mug of dust with the creamer of steam, how many more does that leave? Give me a pot of scotch, heat up a pan of stem, throw in a handful of dick, that'll do every trick. Silver carafe of mash upon a tray of ray, I'll lick a spoon of show. Do I need to go on? I want a cup of joe.
This is the Quality News Network. The Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change this morning released its summary on global warming. Among its findings, up to 30% of the Earth's species face extinction if temperatures rise more than 3.5 degrees above the averages in the 1980s and 90s. Said to be the most comprehensive study of its kind, the document was produced by 2,500 scientists from 120 nations. The Defense Department says more than 12,000 National Guard troops will soon receive word they may be sent back to Iraq in December or January. It'll be the first time full National Guard brigades are deployed in Iraq for a second term. U.S.-led troops battled insurgents in a southern Iraqi Shia stronghold today. Fighting broke out following a dawn raid by security forces. At least one person was killed, 15 wounded. 27 people were killed and 30 others wounded today when a suicide truck bomber crashed into an Iraqi police checkpoint in Ramadi. Police say the attack included the release of chlorine gas. The Washington Post reports recently declassified Defense Department documents show Saddam Hussein did not have a relationship with Osama bin Laden or al-Qaeda. The documents contradict the Bush administration's continuing insistence that al-Qaeda was active within Iraq prior to the 2003 invasion. CNN reports an Iranian group based in Iraq is routinely receiving protection from the U.S. military, even though the State Department has officially designated the group a terrorist organization. The news agency says the MEK is considered an ally because it opposes the current Iranian government. The British Defense Department is denying a report from UK Sky News that the British troops seized in the Persian Gulf were on a military intelligence mission. The television network filmed an